Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris and you're watching The Future is Female. This is the show where we find the extraordinary in every woman. Now, women's nutritional needs vary throughout our life stages. It shifts from childhood to adulthood and in our childbearing years and even into old age. And it affects the hormonal changes that occur with menstruation, pregnancy, lactation and to menopause. But there's not that much awareness and education when it comes to the nutritional needs of women and how it changes throughout our life cycle. There's a lot of discussion in the mainstream platforms, but a lot of those discussions center around discussions about female health. They center around weight loss or weight management and diet culture. So I'm delighted to introduce my guest tonight, who is passionate about translating really complex nutrition science into ways that can help us understand and make better evidence-based choices when it comes to nutrition and health. I'd like to introduce everyone to Adele Wong. She's a certified dietitian and nutritionist, and she's the founder of Nutrition Track. Hi, Adele. Welcome to the show. So good to have you.
Hey, Melissa. Thank you so much for having me. Pleasure is all mine.
Well, I've been following your work for a while, Adele, and I really like the ethos that you champion. And I just wanted to, before we get into that, because a lot of there's so much conversation. I love that you talk about making complex nutrition science digestible, if I may, into ways that are evidence-based, that we can make good choices and build good habits. But I know you also have a special interest in women's health and nutrition and how that impacts, that changes throughout our life cycle. So maybe we can begin with how you developed those interests, because you started out, I guess I'm curious to know how you went from, as I understand it, the fitness industry to becoming a certified dietitian, a certified nutritionist.
Okay, sure. So my journey to becoming a dietitian actually began when I started running. And long story short, I got into competitive running. I was taking part in 10Ks, half marathons, and I did one marathon as well. And during that time that I was training, I noticed that nutrition is something that was often neglected. And I personally had questions about nutrition. So I kind of saw the gap there and decided to pursue my master's in nutrition and dietetics at the University of Sydney. I've always loved science and the human body. Before that, I had a degree in biomedical science. So combining those things, and especially food, we all love food, right? So it was perfect. And when I came back after doing my master's, I started Nutrition Track immediately. And I've been running it for over 3 years now, and it's the best. I absolutely love what I do, and it's truly, truly very, very fulfilling.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Nutrition Track. You said that it addressed a certain gap when it came to information about nutrition. And, you know, we Malaysians love our food, but we don't often think about the nutrition aspect. We think about portions and, you know, health and ingredients, but we don't think about nutrition and what we want for our body. And I wanted to ask you about Nutrition Track, because one of the goals is for everyone to have a good relationship with food and to build good habits. Tell us a bit about this, about Nutrition Track. Who does it serve? What is its, what does it hope to achieve?
Okay, so at Nutrition Track, we specialize in providing super simple, like you mentioned, and practical evidence-based nutrition advice and information that is very importantly tailored to the individual. So our approach is always holistic. We take into account your personal preference, your lifestyle, your culture, and fully understanding the psychological and behavioral aspect of it all. And so basically, we don't fit you into a box. We make the box fit you. So we offer a very wide range of services, from individual consultations, corporate programs and talks, and also sessions that are tailored to special interest groups like athletes and women. And to be honest, when I started Nutrition Track, I didn't have a particular target audience in mind, as I was still fairly new to the market. I was unsure of what the Malaysian market is like. And personally, I was also still in the midst of discovering what I actually enjoy doing in my field. So back then, I literally said yes to everything and anything. So whatever job that came by, I just picked it up, did it, but made sure I delivered the best. And it was good because it did give me an idea of what people are struggling with. And it also helped shape what I want for myself and what I want for Nutrition Track as well moving forward. And through that experience, I found that many women tend to battle with things like disordered eating behaviors, poor body image, hormonal issues, and as you mentioned, diet culture, right? So they normally dive deep into diet culture. And I have personally been through that as well. So I completely understand what my clients go through. And on top of all of that, some women also still don't fully understand their bodies and the menstrual cycle and how nutrition plays a role in that. So one of the things that I'm really passionate in at the moment and working towards with Nutrition Track is helping all women understand their unique physiology and to learn how to work with it and not against it to achieve their best lives, basically. And one of the things that really struck me also with nutrition and women's health is the role that it plays in genetic programming during preconception and pregnancy. So the genetic makeup of a baby not only includes traits from both parents, of course, but it also carries epigenetic information that reflects their life exposures and those of the generations before them. So basically, this means that what you eat and your nutrition and lifestyle during the preconception stage and pregnancy has the power to influence your child's future health. And that could mean preventing chronic diseases like heart disease, type 2, and even allergies. So that is pretty mind-blowing. And it's very important information, which highlights the importance of nutrition and lifestyle, especially in women. So that's kind of like what I want to achieve as well. So everybody, whether or not you want to have a child, should have an idea of what you need to do when it comes to your health and nutrition.
That is amazing. I mean, I didn't know that it affected so much. You know, you have an idea, you know, the saying is you are what you eat, right? But this is literally, you know, affecting generations to come and your offspring and all that. Can I just ask you very quickly, though, you talked a little bit about how Nutrition Track is kind of tailored, right? So you look at how the behavioral aspect of that is also quite important. I wanted to ask you about that because I think a lot of the reasons why some fitness culture is faddish, you know, it doesn't last long, is because it doesn't take into account people's behaviors and habits. And I wanted to ask you how that comes into play. When we think about nutrition and making those good evidence-based choices, how does behavioral aspects come into play into that?
Yeah, awesome question. Now, behavior is often kind of like a missed component. So like I said, a lot of people try to fit you into a box, right? But they don't take into account everything else. Now, behavior is so important because it drives what you're actually doing. Because so let's say, for example, if you give someone a plan, anybody can follow a plan for a certain amount of time, right? But if you are not changing your internal behavior, if you're not adapting to the plan to your lifestyle, how is that going to last? It's not. So basically, my approach is really taking into account the person's, their own personal preference, their culture, their lifestyle, their habits, and of course, helping them to build healthy habits along the way as well, because habits are what you're doing every single day. If you think about it, the life that you're living right now, it's a sum of all the habits that you're doing every single day. So if you want to work towards a better health or nutrition, you've got to change something in that. And that comes down to the daily habits that you are doing. And it's not just about following a certain plan or diet. You need to change your diet. You need to change your habits accordingly as well, because ultimately we want it to last as well, right? We're not here for the short term. We're here for the long term. And that really comes down to habits.
I want to talk a little bit about that. So we're going to discuss a little later on the show a little bit more about the nutritional needs of a woman, how that changes over the life cycle. But I want to touch quickly on building good habits. And what I love about Nutrition Track and the work that you do, Adele, is that you don't demonize food. Or even types of food. You know, there's a lot about diet culture is to do with, demonizing certain foods and using food as a reward versus, a punishment or deprivation. And I wanted to ask you, how do we think about that? Moving away from this idea that we need to earn the food that we eat, that we need to burn it off immediately after, or we need to hours of exercise before actually indulging in a piece of cake, for instance. How do we approach, how do we do away with that mindset?
So it really begins with the mindset and how you think of food. So one of the things that, like you mentioned, I really don't like about diet culture is the labeling of good and bad foods. And it's always fear-based. It's always, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. Or if you eat this food, something bad is going to happen to you. It's always from a place of fear. And this can be very disempowering when you start off with fear, right? So to begin with, it's really important that you do not label any foods at all. Food is just food. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just food, right? Of course, there are some that are more nutritious and better for you. But at the end of the day, it's still food. And I always tell people, you have the permission to eat all foods. Allow yourself to eat all foods. But that does not mean that you just eat anything and everything, right? So you still need to make the right nutrition choices that you know are going to be good for you. And what I find is that when you just remove this fear, and when you say that you can eat all foods, it's almost as if all of a sudden people can make good nutrition choices. Whereas when you tell them good or bad foods is, when you tell yourself you can't eat something, the more you want to eat it. Right. So that's kind of the thing as well. So it's really important that it really starts off with a positive mindset that there's no such thing as a good or bad food. But at the same time, you still need to make good nutrition choices that is suitable and also what you want for yourself, for your health and for your goals as well.
Okay, all right, we're going to take a quick break, but let's come back and continue our conversation with Adele Wong of Nutrition Track. We're going to focus on the changing nutritional needs of a woman throughout her life cycle. So stay tuned to The Future's Female. We'll be right back. Hi, welcome back to The Future's Female. I'm Melissa Idris and I'm chatting to Adele Wong, dietitian and founder of Nutrition Track. Adele, we were talking just before the break about diet culture and the, deprivation and reward mentality of food. I wanted to ask you about, specifically about women and the changing nutritional needs as our bodies change throughout different stages of our lives. So let's talk a little bit about that. You talked, you said before the break about how nutrition impacts hormones. And I want to ask you specifically about menstruation and fertility. How much does nutrition impact, say, the menstrual cycle, for instance?
Okay, so in general, women go through many different life stages. So for example, we have our reproductive years, and for some, we will go through preconception, pregnancy, lactation, and then lastly, we all have menopause. So there are some key nutrients that we need to pay attention to at each of these stages. So for example, folic acid is very important during preconception and pregnancy, and iron during our reproductive years. And as you mentioned, we also have hormones that fluctuate not only every month, but also changes across the life cycle. And during this time, we do have increased needs for certain nutrients at different times. So an example would be, let's use estrogen, for example. So estrogen plays a key role in bone health and development. Of course, estrogen plays other roles as well. But for women, when we hit menopause, estrogen drops. And when this happens, we actually lose bone mass much more at an accelerated rate compared to men. Of course, men, as they age, they lose bone mass as well. But for us during menopause, especially plus minus the 10 years before, during, and after that, it's at a very much accelerated rate, and it's about 2 to 5% a year. And that itself can cause a lot of issues such as osteoporosis, and both nutrition and exercise can help manage that. And this is the very important bit, is that you do not wait till you hit menopause till you start caring about your bone health. Because, well, you can, but it's going to be a bit too late. Your younger years between puberty and about 30 years old is when you have the best ability to build as much bone mass as possible. And this is the time where you want to eat right and exercise, because that's going to influence your bone health later in life. So this highlights the importance of nutrition at every stage, and it's good to have good eating habits right at the start. And to answer your question on how big of a role it plays in the menstrual cycle, so that's one of the unique things about women, right? So we have the menstrual cycle, which with the hormones fluctuating every month, and nutrition plays a role in the normal functioning of the menstrual cycle. Of course, there are other factors that come into play as well, but in general, if you don't pay attention to your nutrition, that can indirectly affect something in your menstrual cycle, and that alone can also indirectly affect fertility, because that's what the menstrual cycle, well, that's the main function of it as well. And of course, if something is off with your menstrual cycle, it may mean that estrogen, you're not producing enough estrogen as well, and that alone, as I mentioned, estrogen plays a role in bone health. So if that happens to you, again, your bone health can be affected as well.
So, right, okay. So sorry to interrupt you, but I just remember something you said a bit earlier about, you're working with different clients and you can relate to what they're saying. But I'm just wondering, with the women that specifically that you speak to, what are some of the real struggles that they face? Not just in, I guess, ensuring that they're making the good choices in terms of nutrition and fitness and health. What are the main kind of issues that the women you speak to are facing?
So a combination of either they personally have hormonal issues like PCOS, that's a very common one, and also in general is basically trying to balance activity levels and making sure that they're eating enough for that. Because again, if you don't eat enough for your activity levels, that can again indirectly affect something with the menstrual cycle. So that's the two most common issues with
Is
women in general.
that just for, say, like, professional level athletes? I mean,
Oh no, it can be
recreational?
recreational as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Everyone's body responds differently to stress. So one person may be able to take a lot of stress, right? But for another person, it might be a lot less for them to see something, for it to be affecting their menstrual cycle. So it's very individual. So I have seen high-level athletes who feel very well, to eat well, and they're absolutely fine, and they're training at a very high level. Whereas I have some who, they're not as active, but because they're not feeding themselves well, their menstrual cycle can be affected. So yeah.
Right, I see. Okay, and I wanted to ask you to address a little bit about the education that comes with making those good choices. There's so much information, or let me just rephrase that. There's so much noise when it comes to nutrition. I mean, you can get everything online. You can look up anything, and there's new research every day. There's a lot of misinformation out there. If you just think about, if you remember back in the 80s, there was all this, all we focused on back then was fat, bad fat, good fat, and fat-free and avoiding fat. And now it's all about sugar and carbs and all of that. And I'm just wondering, with everything now online, and there's every type of conceivable diet that you can think of, and you can look it up online, how do we get rid of all that noise, Adele? There's so much information. How do we make evidence-based choices if we think that what we're looking at is, in fact, evidence?
That's a very good question. And indeed, there's really a lot of noise out there. So this is why proper education is very important. So when you are educated, when you have that knowledge, you can make your own decisions around food, and you're not following what other people are doing. Because with knowledge, you empower yourself. You have the power and the knowledge to make good nutrition choices. I think that's one of the main reasons why I'm also very passionate in education, because with that, you literally can cut out all the noise per se. But of course, in order to get to that stage, it can be quite difficult. So really, it's also to be very skeptical. It's to question everything. It's to ask questions. If you're not sure, just ask. And if that source is legit, they will be able to tell you the reasoning and the background and everything behind it as well. And of course, health professionals, we are there to help. So we are accessible as well. You can reach out to us to ask questions if you're not sure, instead of guessing all the time. So one of the things that my clients always highlight to me is that there's so much information out there. I don't know what is suitable for me or what I should do. And this is where I come in, because I look at your life as a whole. And based on that, I give you my best opinion on what you should do. So that's why I guess that's one of the benefits that I can play as well, is to look at as a whole and not just focusing on just one thing.
Yeah. Do you find that when you're talking to your clients now versus say before COVID, are the conversations about health and nutrition and fitness, are they different? Are they changing, say now and a year, 2 years ago?
I would say the crowd is a bit different. So I've been getting a lot of younger people coming to me for help, which is a good sign, which means that they are aware and investing in their health very early on. So that's the trend that I saw in terms of that. So younger people are coming to me for help and wanting to improve their nutrition. And of course, I guess COVID in general has made people more aware of their health in general. A lot of the common themes is, how do I improve immunity? How do I eat well to live longer and things like that. So yeah, I guess that's the shift in general.
Do you often find yourself having those conversations about whether, you need supplements, or do I need to do this, Adele? Do I need to change this? Is this going to be the right move for me? Do you talk to your clients about that? I mean, I often wonder, am I getting enough nutrition just based on my daily diet? Do I need all these, rows of supplements that line my counter? Do I need them? Do you have those types of conversations?
Oh, yes, absolutely. All the time. And the thing the thing about people is we tend to jump on supplements first without even looking at our own, without even evaluating your own lifestyle first. So that's the thing that I normally try to remind people, is to pull back and look at the basics. Are you working on everything that you can? Do you have good habits with eating fruits and vegetables, for example? Do you get enough sleep? Are you getting 7 to 8 hours of sleep every night? Do you manage your stress properly? Are you drinking enough water? Are you even exercising? If you have not said yes
basics,
to any of this,
that's really the basics, right?
Yeah, really, that's really the basics, and it's free. It's so if you have not done any of this, don't even consider supplements. Because supplements, it's just the sprinkles on the cake. It's not the actual cake. If you don't even have cake, don't even have your sprinkles, right? So that supplements is just there to supplement your health. It's not there to replace. I know a lot of people, they have poor lifestyle habits, and then they try to supplement their way to good health. So they take green juices, they take all these antioxidant things, and you're not even getting your basics right. So that should be your focus, and not jump straight to supplements. I would say the majority don't need to jump on supplements yet, but of course supplements, there is a time and place for them, right, especially when it's clinically needed.
Right, I hear you. So get the foundation right, build those good habits first, and then then continue on. Can we in the last couple of minutes that we have left, can we talk about those good habits, Adele? When you say building good habits, what do you want viewers today to kind of walk away with and think about next time we go into our kitchens, we open the fridge, and we're thinking about making a choice? What should we keep in mind?
Okay, very easy. Every day, are you having fruit? That's one habit that you can build. The other thing is colorful vegetables. I always say aim for two different colors at every meal if possible. And water. Are you drinking enough water? The best indicator would be your pee color. So you want to aim for a very light straw-ish color. So if it's dark yellow, that's kind of the sign that you need to drink more. So that's the other thing. And exercise or movement, any movement. Are you doing any of that? And it doesn't need to be something extreme. It can be very simple as a 5 or 10 minute walk. And then, of course, the best thing about habits is that you need to build on top of these habits. So you need to progress your habits. So once you have all these basics in place, what you want to do is you need to think about how am I going to take these habits to the next level? So that's how you can progress it. And of course, lastly, the one is sleep, at least 7 to 8 hours of sleep. I know from a lot of my corporate sessions, a lot of people don't get enough sleep. So that is definitely one of the things that you can put a lot more effort in is to working on your sleep.
Well, okay, those are really good habits, and I'm going to try and work on those habits myself. Thank you, Adele. Thanks so much for being on the show tonight. That was Adele Wong from Nutrition Track, wrapping up our conversation for The Future is Female for this episode, and I will be back with a new episode same time next week. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Alyssa Idris. Good night.